Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And honestly, Lord, what would we do if we didn't have you and didn't have the kingdom? Lord, when Jesus is in town, everything is right. And you make it right. And we see our world is so crazy. It reflects Satan's antics. And we don't want any part of it. We want the prince of this world to come and find nothing in us. We want the new garment, Lord, the new garment, the transcendent personality, that we can be human and yet be without all the baggage. Oh, we know you're doing it. You promised it in your word. We'd be a new creation. And we're hoping and looking for that, Lord. And thank you for your goodness. Bless everyone on the property this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will be shepherd your flock. Foreigners will work for your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity in my faithfulness. I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. I don't think there's a passage in the Bible that so sums up what God is doing. And as you remember, this is what Jesus preached in his home synagogue. Here's something. There's two expressions. One is the body of Christ. And that refers to the fact that we are part of him in the task of building the kingdom. That's what it implies. The body of Christ, the body of the anointed one, the one that God has anointed. And it means that we are part of him in the task of building the kingdom of God on the earth. The other expression is the wife of the Lamb. And that refers to our relationship to Jesus. The wife of the Lamb. We're made one with him, like Eve was one with Adam by being built from his substance. So we are built from the body and blood of Christ. So the wife of the Lamb refers to our relationship to Jesus. The body of Christ refers to the fact that we, along with him, are anointed to do the work of the Lord. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, two different relationships. She's never in the Bible called the wife of Christ. Never. You hear people say that. Or the bride of Christ. That's not biblical. It's the bride of the Lamb, body of Christ. Now, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Now, this is God the Father is the Sovereign Lord here. And Christ, the Word of God, is saying the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, that the Spirit of God is on me because the Lord, and Jesus is calling his Father Lord, the Lord. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. So we've got two Lords going here. One is the Father and one is Christ his Son. The Lord has anointed me. Now, that word there is where the term Christ comes from. Christ and Messiah literally mean the one anointed, the one anointed. Now, we are members of the body of Christ, which means we are the body of the one who is anointed. And we are anointed. Everyone who is part of Christ is part of the royal priesthood and is anointed to do the work of Christ. I have some scriptures here. And notice in Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. I have it on the New American Standard. There was something I didn't like about the New International Version, so I just chose the New American Standard Bible. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. I know why I use this instead of the NIV. NIV has it stopping at his collar. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Isn't that something in the Old Testament? Eternal life. Eternal life in the Old Testament. Whew. So that when I was reading this in Isaiah 61, it reminded me of this verse. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, it makes us part of the Anointed One. Now, the word Christ, the word Christian, is a diminutive of the word Christ. It means it's the same thing, only in a lesser extent. So Christian means someone who is part of Christ. And as I told you, the relationship body of Christ, related to him as a body to the head, is because we have been given the tasks that are mentioned in Isaiah 61. Now, the first part of Isaiah 61 talks about our ministry to our fellow members of the body. Then it speaks about what, let's see where that starts. In verse 4, it starts about the ministry of the body to the world. First, the ministry of the body to itself. And if you read the fourth chapter of Ephesians carefully, you will see that the gifts and ministries of the body are to the body, with the exception of evangelism. And the purpose of evangelism is not, as it's used today, to try to save the world. It's not the purpose of evangelism. If you'll notice in the book of Acts, it says, as many as God has called, and this kind of thing. In other words, it was calling out from Corinth and calling out from Thessalonica and other places, the members of the body. This part of the Christian era, from the resurrection of Christ to the present, is for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Now, when will world evangelism take place? Well, you can see it in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the nations will come. And that's when the nations will come. So today, we're going out as though this were not the case, as though our generation were for the purpose of saving the world. Now, the Bible does say in Mark, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is saved shall be, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's true. But what happens is, as the word goes out, it touches those that the Father is going to bring to Christ. Now, Christ said, no one can come to me except the Father who has draws him. No one can come to me except the Father who has sent me draws him. And so as the word, we're to preach the gospel to everyone, but then the Father, as it says in John 17, the Father brings to Christ those who belong to God. Now, I can't explain all of that, but that's what the Bible says. There's people in the world who belong to God, and God brings them to Jesus, and he gives them eternal life. That's why he says in John 17, I do not pray for the world. I pray for those whom you have given me. So the word church itself, the word itself, means called out from. Ecclesia. Called out from. Ek, out from, and klesia, called. The church is called out from. So when you make the gospel good news to the whole world, you're this is no problem. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But this era is for the purpose of building the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is doing it. And he gives the gifts and ministries for to build up the body to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Now, if you are a Christian, and I believe everyone here is a Christian, the word Christian means anointed, and you have the Holy Spirit, you have that to do what it says in Isaiah 61. These verses 1, 2, and 3 tell what you are to be doing. You are to be ministering to the members of the body. Now, that doesn't mean you can't tell the word to someone that you meet in the parking lot somewhere. But those who do personal work soon learn that you have to be guided by God. You can't just go up to anybody. You have to kind of feel the presence of the Lord. How many have felt that? Where you're supposed to talk to somebody, and if you're really hearing from the Lord, they'll receive it. But to go and just blab it out to everybody, as is commonly conceived, that we're supposed to tell everybody in the world, it's not biblical, and it won't work. It will not work. So we've had a lot of gospel preached in America, but everybody isn't a Christian. But those who God has, see, no man can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. And so God isn't going to draw the people that you choose. He's going to draw the people that he chooses. You see that? And the word Christian means the little ones anointed, and we're anointed, which makes us part of Messiah. And you'll see that in 1 Corinthians 12:12, a very important concept, this idea that the body of Christ means people who are part of Christ for the purpose of fulfilling Isaiah 61. That's what the word Christian means. Now notice in 1 Corinthians 12:12, the body, and that means it's talking about the human body, not the body of Christ. The human body is a unit. Is your body a unit, or are you kind of scattered around? Though it is made up of many parts. Is that so? You're not sure? your hand is part of you? Yeah. All right. That's generally true of most of us. You didn't leave part of your body home. All right. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. Now that's of tremendous significance. It means that denominations do not exist as far as God is concerned. They're human approximations or adaptations to what they think God wants. But they are purely of the flesh and blood. They are not of the transcendent humanity at all. They just don't fit, because if you're a member of the body and somebody across the world is, excuse me, in a member of the Greek Orthodox Church, and he's a member of the body, we're of the same body. And the fact that he dingles the little bells and blows the incense around has nothing to do with anything. The body is a unit. And in the last days, now we see persecution approaching. Now we can see that as the gospel and Christ are beginning to be despised in our nation. So I don't doubt that some of us may live to see the day when the true body of Christ comes out of the churches. Now we can't come out before God's time. That's just to create another Babylon. But the day will come. And when Jesus appears, the true Christians, the true members of his body, will know one another. Will know one another. And there'll be no Baptist, Pentecostal, Greek Orthodox, Catholic, or anything else. The body is one. Get a feel for it. The body is one, just like your body. And notice what else it says. So it is with Christ. Now, that means that we are an integral part of the Messiah who is to appear. Now, that's not to get us puffed up beyond all human resemblance. Look at, one minister said, look in the mirror. You're looking at God. You know, people get off on these things. No, we don't need that. Christ is exalted. We know he's the head. He's the Lord that God has appointed. He gave his blood for our salvation. We're not saying that we are Jesus. We're not Jesus. No one in this room is Jesus, unless you're Mexican and they called you Jesus. So, a lot of Mexican boys, a lot of Mexican children, boys are called Jesus. That's their name. But I don't see any Jesus in this room. There's only one Jesus, our Lord. But Christ is not a head without a body. How many here, your head is sufficient? That's all you need. You really don't need your body. Just your head. Huh? And that's the way it is when we make Jesus apart from us. What good is a head without the body? And I'm not making it up. This is the analogy here in the Bible. So also is Christ. So also is the one anointed with oil by God to do the work of Messiah. Is not just a head. Now again, I am not diminishing the authority or the rank of Christ. I'm not diminishing that in any manner. God gives to the body, he gives to Christ whomever he will, and he gave the head, and the head is Jesus, and that's it, period. But he also gives other ministries in the body, apostles. Everybody isn't an apostle, and he gives prophets, and he gives ministries of healing. He gives gifts. One of the gifts he gives is giving. And I don't talk much about giving. I probably should talk more, but I don't like it. It's been such a reproach in our nation. But there is a ministry of giving. It's a ministry. Just as important as me standing up here and bothering all of you. It's a ministry. And it should be treated as such. And not throwing money all over the countryside because some flashy preacher tells you if you just send him your pocketbook, he'd save the world. And that's what they do. And God's people, some poor lady doesn't have enough to buy. She buys dog food so she'll have something to eat because she's so poor. And then she'll send it into some minister that has an air-conditioned doghouse. Mm-hmm. That particular minister ended up in prison, by the way. And so don't throw your money around the countryside. If you have money and you're going to give it, you pray. Because a lot of the people out there asking for money are phonier than balonier. They're phony balonies. And you make sure, because God will hold you accountable for the stewardship of what he gives you. I don't talk much about, how many know I don't talk much about money? Do I talk much about money? No, I very seldom mention money because it's to me one time, years ago, I wanted to go on the radio and didn't have the money. So a lady came to the church I never saw before or since. And she handed me $5,000 worth of gold Krugerrands. Well, I'd never seen, I wouldn't know a gold Krugerrand if one bit me. But anyway, that's what they were. And so I had, I won't go into that because it's indelicate, but I didn't have the right kind of clothes to be carrying around that much weight. So I said, this is filthy lucre. So I gave it to Walter Miller and we went on the air. But out of that came the Strebies because they were in Sacramento at that time and we were on Sacramento for quite a while. So God can provide money and I know that and I don't talk much about it. I don't intend to, but I will say this. Don't throw your money around. Every nickel that you're going to give, pray. And God will bless you because it is a ministry. And there's ministries of showing mercy. There's ministries of rulership and business and all kinds of things. But it is one body. And it's an integral part of the head. Because the head can't do anything without the body. What's the head going to do without the body? And you'll see Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now tell me, where do you get grapes? Off the vine or off the branches? Well, you're not farmers, and I know that. Well, you don't get grapes off the vine. You get them off the branches. But the way a grapevine is, everything's so tangled together, it's hard to separate the vine and the branches. But that's a lesson in itself. But believe it or not, you get grapes off the branches. And that's one way Christ has of showing us how dependent he is. He's dependent on us. Amen. You believe that, Derek? Christ is dependent on us to do, see, because God anoints us with things that he doesn't anoint Jesus with. I may be so bold. So Jesus depends on us to do what God has given us to do. Isn't that marvelous? See, because he wants to share the inheritance with us. It's love that sponsors this. He could do stuff by himself if he wanted to. But it's in love, he has made himself dependent on us to obey God. Isn't that neat? So it is with Christ. Now, if you would be so kind as to look at Genesis 5:2, which Lloyd probably already has, Genesis 5:2, as he reads my mind, I delight in this verse. The King James, the only one that has it right. I'll tell you what they all do wrong. Okay, if they would quit thinking for us, wouldn't it help? The translators, male and female created he them. That's one thing that I've got against this, the Muslim encroaching in our country. I'm telling you, they don't treat women right. They don't, they regard them like you would a horse or a dog. Their possession. Women aren't anybody's possession. Okay? They're given to man to complement him and to be a helper. They're not supposing that you can, according to the Quran, you can beat them three times with a stick and no more. Can you imagine Adam beating Eve with a stick? What a thing. I'm against it. All right, now, male and female created he them and blessed them. And now here's the punchline. And called their name Adam. Now all the other translation says, and called their name man. But then down in the footnotes they'll put Adam, because literally in the Hebrew it's Adam. See, he called their, plural, Adam and Eve, called their name Adam. And that's a sign of what our relationship to Christ. He called their name Christ. We're not as great as he. We haven't been as pointed to the rank that he has. We haven't been from the beginning. We were never the Word or anything of that. We understand that. But to regard us as something separate from him is to go against the Scripture. So we might be trying to be humble and reverent, but we're going against the Scripture. It says, so it is with Christ. So that's important, because God's people very often do not regard themselves as the Bible does. They think, oh, I'm nobody, I'm not the pastor, and I can't be like Jeannie Borman because she's already watered all the plants, so I don't have to do that. You know? You're a part. Now, like Lynn and April, see, now, I can't go out into all the hospitals, and I don't want to. I'm through with hospitals. But they'll go out there, and some of you may too. And I have given my book, God's Wonderful World, to a couple of doctors, hoping they would give it to who's in charge of the pediatric ward. Doesn't cost them anything. But if some of the rest of us would do that, I want to get that book into where boys and girls can have a hope of not fearing dying. Mother, am I dying? Am I going to die? And they can read it. One of the palm boys read it and says, Mom, I want to die. That was his reaction. So, and that was the intention of it, to make kids look forward to death as I do, like school's out. C.S. Lewis says, the howls are here, the holidays are here, school's out. You can have a wonderful time. That's the way I want children to regard death. Because I see in this day, I see that God is taking a lot of children home to get them out of the mess their parents are in. It's what he's doing. And people say, oh, it's terrible, the child died. No, the child's having a blast. God loves children. And when he sees that something's going wrong, he takes them home. You'll see this in the paper all the time, children dying. And so I want the kids to look forward as I do to death as finally school's out. When I was a boy, one thing I hated was school and the other was church. And that's the way I look forward to death. Just like a kid looking forward to the last day of school. No more piano lessons, no more recitals. Oh, I can go out on Gates Hill and play I've Been Shot and flop on the ground, do whatever I want to do. I know little girls don't pretend that they're shot. Well, we used to play that a lot. It's very dramatic. Okay. Now, all right, we're back now in Isaiah 61. The first part, verses 1, 2, 3 are talking about what?
Ministering to the body.
Yeah, the body ministering to itself. See? That's before the body can minister to the world, it has to minister to itself. You can't have Christians that are casual or depressed or anything else ministering to the world. It isn't going to happen. They've got to be built up. That's what it's about. All right. And now here begins your job. The Lord has anointed me for what purpose? To preach good news to the poor. That means the poor among God's people. I know from the context. Okay, the poor. Well, I don't say it's poor in spirit. I don't know. There is such a thing as being poor. I've been poor at one point in my life, so I stand some good news. I think that's the reason we have so many hymns about going to heaven and gold and diamonds and everything else, because the gospel's been preached to the poor. They never had anything, so they make up these things. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, a lot of God's people are brokenhearted. They can't minister in that case. They've got to be bound up. Somebody's got to give them hope. Well, your little darling is with Jesus. She's not beyond the clouds somewhere or the sky. She's with the Lord looking down on you. Oh. Well, to proclaim freedom for the captives. A lot of God's people are in captivity to smoking and drugs, child molestation, lust, adultery, fornication, you name it. A lot of God's people are that way. There's a lot of child molestation goes on in the churches. It's in bondage. One man on a motel said when the Christians came in town for a convention, immediately they bought all his X-rated movies to watch in their rooms. Christians. Well, a Christian that's bound with X-rated movies is in no condition to bring good news to the world. You know, they're bound, chains, and release from darkness for the prisoners. That's God's people. We've got a nation full of them. They've been taught grace, rapture, heaven. Nobody's feeding them. Well, there's some feeding them, I'm sure, but not many. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He didn't say to entertain them, did he? Feed them. What do you feed them? The word of God, not traditions. Not grace, rapture, heaven. I thought, thinking about imputed righteousness, what a thing that is. Jesus said, let your good works shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. How can you show people imputed righteousness? Let everyone see your imputed righteousness. That's the kind of mental fog we're in today. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I think it was Brother Smitter a couple of weeks ago brought out the day, the time of the Lord's favor. When is that? Now. Do you know what our problem is, people? We assign the things of God to the past and to the future. That's our problem. Today, if you'll pray, God will give you some way to minister. If your mind's all on Thanksgiving and everything else, you're going to miss it. You have to take holidays in stride and don't get preoccupied with them. You say, well, after Thanksgiving, then I'm going to really get busy with God. Huh? You ever done that? Well, I can't because now Christmas is coming up and you know how that is. But after Christmas, boy, am I going to serve the Lord. Well, then the next thing you know, it's Easter, and we've got to get ready for Easter. But boy, after that, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then after that, school's going to be out. Now, I've got to think about vacation. I've got to get busy thinking about vacation. But after summer, wow, am I going to serve the Lord. Then we're going back to school, and there's clothes that have to be purchased. And if your school hasn't been shut down for lack of funds, why, you're fortunate, and you've got all these problems. But boy, as soon as this school gets calmed down, I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, that's called the Christian liturgical year. That's how we do. You can never serve God that way. Only today. You can't serve God tomorrow. It has to be now. I'll bet you there isn't half a dozen people in this room that gave thought to how they could minister to the body today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today. Now, tomorrow you're going to be busy. Maybe Tuesday. Well, Tuesday you're going to be busy. Well, maybe Wednesday. And so on and on it goes till you're in a hospice waiting to die. Well, after I die, I'm really going to serve the Lord. It's now. I can't impress that on you too much. Boy, I could have let the years slide by. If I did, I'd probably be a superintendent of school somewhere. I'm qualified to do that. Or to be president of a junior college. I actually have the license in California to be president of a junior college. And it's a life credential. Now, I had to grab the bull by the horns and say, you know, what do you want done today, Lord? What do you want done today? And I challenge you today. Ask the Lord, is there some way I'm to minister to the body today? And see what he says. Huh? He won't rebuke you for that. But we do have a sense of inevitability. Well, if the Lord's going to ever use me, he'll just come and appear at my bedroom window and say, here I am. I have something for you. Please open the window. No, that isn't going to happen. You have to say, this is God's will for me, is to minister to the body of Christ. And I want to do that. With the young, they figure, well, when I get a little older, or when I get married, and then when you're married, I can't do it because I've been married. And we've got bills to pay, and I can't be spending time thinking about, oh, well, that's the Christian liturgical year. Today, we're supposed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, when Christ rolled up the scroll in the synagogue, opened the scroll and was reading, he got up to the word favor, and then he rolled the scroll back up, sat down. He did not read the day of vengeance of our God. He didn't even complete the sentence there. Why not? Benny, you ought to know, I've said it often enough in the last 30 years. Nobody remembers what I told you about that. It wasn't the time. What wasn't the time? In Jesus' day, it was not the time for the day of vengeance of God, the day of atonement. What's different today? It is now. How do you know? By the Spirit of God. I know. And I've been practicing it ever since it was first brought to my attention 30 years ago. Confessing sins. The day of vengeance of God. Remember that God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand, I'll make your enemies your footstool. It has begun. Well, you say it can't have because there'll be signs in the heavens. That's the way God does. He works in the most unpretentious ways. And you remember, how many remember the two old people coming into the temple with carrying the baby Jesus, no less? And here the priests are rushing around, doing their job, showing how important they were, and generally making a great impression on everybody. And here's two old people with the baby Jesus. No, what? His mother brought him in. Was that it? The mother and father? If I get some help around here, we'll get it straight. His mother and father brought him in, and there was two old people. What was their names? Anna and Simeon. And here's all these big dudes, and all, you know, they're wealthy people and highly esteemed in Israel, and they didn't know squat about what God was doing. It was too unpretentious. And so Anna and Simeon came over and prophesied, and it's doubtful that anybody even heard them. That's the way it is with God, people. It can pass you by. I see you, Katie. I can see you peeking around Bob's shoulder there. It's that way today. God is doing the most astounding things in the spirit world. And if you're going to get with it, you've got to ignore the commotion that goes on in your culture, because it always has and always shall. And you've got to say, no, today, I'm going to hear from God today. I'm not going to miss the day of my visitation because it's today. You can write it down or do whatever else you want, but it's today. And that's why we understand now the last three feasts of the Lord. I have never read in a commentary anybody that talked about the last three feasts of the Lord. Today it's a piece of cake, walk in the park. There it is, nothing to it. Blessed be the Lord. What? Oh, I confess my sins and then God comes in and makes his temple in me. Oh. Be sure you don't miss it. Okay. To comfort all who mourn. The day of vengeance of God, and to comfort all that mourn. You see a Christian and they're not doing so hot, don't criticize them. Your job as a member of the body of Christ is to comfort your brothers and sisters. Because a lot of them have bad problems, bad problems. And provide for those who grieve in Zion. See, this whole thing is not talking about the world. It's talking about Zion. You notice in Revelation 14, verse 1, Lord already has it. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Now, I don't know whether that number, it's a multiple of 12, so we know it's symbolic, whether it's literally 144,000 or not, I cannot tell you. But I would give my eye teeth to be in that number. That's God's first fruits. These are they who will appear with Christ. Yeah. And they're on Mount Zion, and he's talking to those who grieve in Zion. They're standing with the Lord, God's people, and they're slaughtered six ways to Sunday. They're being abused and lied to. It's a mess. I know because people write to me. Well, there's no need for that. And we're in Isaiah 61. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Now, see, you and I are members of the body of Christ. And it is our responsibility to do these things as the Lord leads. It's hard in the American culture. It really is. With the way technology is improving, I'll bet you there's parents in here, their children want a smartphone for Christmas. Mother, I've got to have a smartphone. If I don't get a smartphone, I'm going to hate you forever. But they have a way of putting software and smartphones that'll track you everywhere you go. Been quite a scandal. So it's up to you to pray about what you give your children, because we are in that time. And you're not going to get any joy and peace and love and righteousness out of a smartphone. That ain't going to happen. I guess the worst problem we have in the 21st century is the communication devices and the social networking. It is not healthy. And Facebook now has just been taken to task about privacy. And somebody put a lot of pornography on the Facebook, and nobody knows how many kids are exposed to that. But Satan's trying to get that pornography in everywhere he can. And you're adults, I'm sure you don't spend time with Facebook or trying to find out who's got the hottest electronic gear. But the kids do. And what they don't realize is it's forming their minds. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I hope everybody here has this pinned up on their refrigerator. You can't be guided by the wisdom of the children. I love the little darlings, but you can't be guided by them. Okay. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's the purpose of the communication devices, is to shape your thinking. Are you there? Hello? Be transformed. That's almost as big a word as, what's the word I'm using now these days? Transcend. something about humanity, transcendent humanity. That's it, transcendent humanity. This is almost that bad. Be transformed by what? By going to church and reading the Bible. Well, that will help. But what does this say here? You're renewing of what? How many here think that the social networking has an impact on your mind? How many think the social work networking has an impact on the young people? They're going to crave it. There's not only the smartphones, but there's other things coming out. And they're going to be wanting it and wanting it and wanting it. And why? Because they do not understand what it is doing to them. It is shaping their minds. You're a member of the body of Christ. Hello? You're responsible. And I'm not trying to get you in an altercation with your kids. You're going to have to use wisdom. You can't say, sit down and shut up, because children are to be seen and not heard. Did you get that? If not, your father will teach you. I don't mean that. You got to have wisdom and pray. And there are young people whose the call of God is on them, and it won't quit. And they're as dependable as adults. And there's other young people that do not have the call of God on them. And all you can kind of do is to keep them healthy as you can, as long as you can, until they leave the house. That's about all you can do. Do the best you can. But there are some young people, you don't have to tell them twice. They want to serve God more than you do. Yeah. Be transformed. Our culture is one of communications. Never been true in the history of the world. But there's been things like cell phones and smartphones. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. When? When your mind has been transformed. And so if it's being transformed by smartphones, they're going to have one out pretty soon, you'll see, that does everything but take the kids to school. Fax, internet, phone, videos, everything. And you'll be able to wear it on your wrist. You wait and see. Then you're going to have a hassle at Christmas time. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Now, we like to have personal prophecy, and I'm a believer in personal prophecy. But it never should be done one-to-one. It always should be done in the presence of the elders. Because otherwise, you will satisfy your desire for being a witch, and the people will desire their desire to come and hear what God is saying without bothering to present their body a living sacrifice. So don't do that. If you've got a personal prophecy, check it out with some of the elders. Have a prophecy to Jane Doe, and then have them there, because you may be off. I'm telling you this from experience. You can be hearing voices from God. One minute is of God, and the next minute is of Satan, and it sounds like the same source. So it's very dangerous to give personal prophecies to people unless you have witnesses with you. And if you're going, oh, I've heard some corkers, I'll tell you. I've done a few myself. So. Yeah, I have a doctorate in deception, DD. And I've learned, you know, you get kicked in the head long enough, you finally say, I'm doing something wrong here. So, anyway, I didn't get into starting with verse 4, where it tells, once you get built up, what you're supposed to do. And all the things that you're supposed to do are on the earth. They're to build up the waste places and to minister people on the earth. So, today, we're in a holiday weekend, And most people, their heads are like a tree full of birds. You know, when you shoot off a shotgun, they fly off in every direction. That's the way people are in a holiday season. Be very careful driving. And remember what I said. Today, ask the Lord what you can do today to help some member of the body. Okay? Shall we stand? You can come to the altar at any time if you want to check it out with the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We're in a tumultuous culture. It is not pushing us in the right direction, but in the wrong direction. And Lord, we need help. Each one of us, we need help to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. And everyone in this room, and I feel this so strongly, I guess Lynn and April stirred it up in me. We don't want this church to be an audience. Everybody should be playing their instrument. God, give everyone awareness of what you want them to do to build up your body. I know you have no dead wood in your body. Every one of us is to be vibrant and not part of the world. Jesus said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. I pray for them. So, Lord, help us to realize that we are them, that you have a job for us to do, now building each other up, and when you appear in repairing the things that have been destroyed by the Antichrist culture. Lord, what a day, what a day. And I thank you, Lord, for alerting us to it. And I pray no one in this room will miss the day of his or her visitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Now, if you need to come to the altar, now is the time. Now. N-O-W. Not next Sunday. Now. Lloyd, we need some organ music. That helps people to realize they're in church. Now, if you need to come, once you go out of here in this crazy culture, pretty hard to keep your mind on the Lord. Remember, today, ask the Lord what you can do today to help some member of the body grow strong. Okay, we'll call that quits then.